in our meetings together. And I want to go back to this passage. The Lord led me back to it here for tonight. It's been a burden on my heart, and I hope that the burden is transferring to your heart as we spend more time here in Matthew chapter 9. I want to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for leading Pastor to schedule us to be here. He didn't have to do that, or rather, Pastor didn't have to do that, but the Lord had led him to do that, and so then he did have to do it. And I am just praising God for the fact that we were able to be here with you. I also do want to say thank you, though, to Pastor. This has just been a wonderful weekend together, and I'm so thrilled. It's so good to be home and to see what God is doing in all of our hearts. I feel that this weekend he's unified us more. He's given us more of a burden to be praying about the same things. And it's just been a very, very good week. And I have been thrilled at the sensitivity of the hearts here each service during these special meetings. I also want to say thank you to those of you who made meals for my family while we were here. They were all very tasty, and hopefully you got your dishes back and not someone else's, and hopefully they were clean. So thank you so much for all the meals. They have been such a blessing. All right, we are in Matthew chapter 9 again, and we are going to go back to the end of the passage there, the end of the chapter, at verses 35 through 39. Okay, so Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 39. Tonight, I would like to finish our meetings together by speaking on the subject of moving forward as a church. So, Faith Bible Church moving forward, let's call it that. Faith Bible Church moving forward. I have not been here like you have. Over the last several months, I've just been here a little bit. When Elijah was born, we were here for some time. But you are hearing the preaching from this pulpit and the burden of our pastor on a regular basis. And I've not had the privilege to hear all that. But I have been able to catch just a little glimpse of what God has been, of the vision God has been giving our pastor, and I am so excited about it. And it's a neat time to be here at Faith Bible Church. And God has been just allowing me to hear bits and pieces here. Pastor, I like to call Pastor or text him, but we don't do it near enough. And so I still feel very much on the outside. But nonetheless, I have had a little glimpse of what God, I believe, wants us to do moving forward. And so I am burdened for that tonight. I'm burdened for Faith Bible Church moving forward. And I would like to share that with you this evening. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Could we just pause now for a time of prayer? And I will lead us in prayer here now together. God, before we get into this message, we need to stop and ask for your help once again. God, I cannot preach this message. I ask that you would open my mouth and cause the right words to come out. I pray that this would be nothing but an enhancement to the work that you want to do here at Faith Bible Church moving forward. God, I pray that this would be an encouragement to the listeners who are hearing it tonight. I thank you for all the home church folks who are here. I thank you also for visitors who have come tonight. And even though this is something for Faith Bible Church moving forward, God, I know you have a message for every single person here, and I pray that you would speak to each heart. Lord, we need you, and we ask that this service, as it continues on and finishes, would be glorifying to you alone, that you would be pleased with our response. We've been thinking about the gospel a little bit here tonight already. And God, I am burdened that maybe someone is here who has never accepted the truth of the gospel. And I would pray here before we preach that God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, and they don't know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that you would help them to see the desperate situation that they are in right now. And Lord, that they would realize they need to make that choice tonight to trust in Jesus alone. And I pray that you would give them the boldness, that you would give them the will to make that choice this evening, and that they would not be hindered by any distraction or any other thing that may come to their mind and they say, maybe later, maybe another time. God, I pray that you would do a work that's impossible for a human to do, and that you would be pleased in our responses tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I would like to draw our attention to just some simple truths here tonight as we finish our meetings together. It will be very simple and maybe even short. Now, I shouldn't even say that. But I'd want to start off with this thought this evening and see here in this passage how the harvest is very plenteous. Now, whenever I hear the word harvest, my ears perk up. I enjoy farming. I'm not a farmer, but I enjoy getting on the farm whenever I have an opportunity. And I was thinking even within the last 48 hours or 64 hours as we've been in this area, and I've driven around a little bit, how come the end of August, boy, I'd love to be back in this area and contact some of my buddies and say, hey, do you have a tractor for me to drive? Because I want to be there. And so I love harvest time. It's exciting. You're filling the silos. You're bringing in the produce of all the year's work, and it's just a thrill when I think of harvest. When we think of harvest here in this passage, God is telling us that it is a plenteous thing. There's lots of it. There's more than we can contain. Jesus says that the harvest truly is plenteous. And first of all, here tonight, I want us to see this thought, the truth of a plentiful harvest. The truth of a plentiful harvest. Jesus said here in verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous. He said truly. He didn't just say the harvest is plenteous. Why didn't he just say that? Well, I believe it was because he knew we would doubt that pretty easily. And even after he added the word truly, what do we still do? We doubt that the harvest really is plenteous. Like more than we could even contain. And God says here, Jesus says that it is truly because he knew we would doubt. And yes, there are times when we are tempted to doubt that in our community, there's not really any souls who are interested in knowing more about Jesus Christ. There's not really anyone who wants to listen to the gospel in our day. There's not really anyone who wants to come to church anymore. There's people who want to go and do their own thing on Sundays, and church is not even in their thoughts. And we're tempted at times to think that, well, even the ones who consider church, boy, there's just so much competition. There's churches on every corner, and this one's asking for people to come, and that one's asking for people to attend, and everyone's trying to get the few that we've whittled down the harvest to say, please, come over here, we want you. And after a while, it's easy for us to not believe what Jesus said there, that the harvest truly is plenteous. Now he's talking about the harvest here. What does he mean when he's talking about the harvest? Well, he's speaking of, Jesus Christ here is speaking of harvesting by planting the seed of the gospel. And so we're supposed to go and plant the seed of the gospel. God waters that seed. God grows that seed. And eventually, the seed of the gospel can then produce fruit. It can produce a harvest. And that harvest is when someone recognizes their need for that seed. Their need for that gospel, that truth about Jesus Christ, and they accept that truth. They trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And so when someone makes that choice, there has been a harvest. That's what Jesus is talking about here. A harvest by way of the seed of the gospel being planted. Now, the seed of the gospel, the gospel, what is that? The gospel is simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or something like that, I think. There it says very plainly that the gospel is those three things. So it's simply this truth that the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, God's very own Son, died. He died and took our place. Now, why would he do that? Why would he need to take our place? Well, because the Bible teaches that we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we are all sinners, and there's a lot of people today who don't like to hear that. We like to think of ourselves as pretty good people. There's a lot of churches, sadly, who are not teaching that we are sinners. They teach that, okay, you may not be perfect, you may have some problems, but deep down inside of you, you're a good person. Boy, there's a spark of light there. And you just have to grow that spark, and you have to put some fuel to make that burn a little brighter. And you can be a good person if you just want to be. That's a false gospel. We have to understand this foundational truth that the Bible teaches about who we are. We have gone against Almighty Holy God. We have broken His law. He has said things such as, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And there's people who do that. There's people who have wrong thoughts, which Jesus said is also as if committing adultery. It's sin to just have a wrong thought. The Bible teaches us that we should not lie. We've told lies. The Bible teaches us that we should not take things from someone else that's not ours. We shouldn't steal. That's quite commonplace. The Bible teaches us that we shouldn't covet. Have you ever coveted something before? You see, it's not long before you realize, okay, I'm guilty. I've broken God's law. That's what we are naturally. We are naturally bent to doing the wrong thing, to doing what pleases ourselves instead of what pleases God. And so the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that's you can't dispute that. The Bible very clearly makes that truth about you and I. And because of our sin, there's consequences before a holy God. The wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say there in the Bible, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's very important. That whole phrase, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have this sin problem, every single one of us. That sin is going to separate us from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. But that sin problem can have a remedy, and that remedy is through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are able to receive this gift of everlasting life that God is holding out to every single individual in the world. He wants you to take that gift. Have you ever taken that gift? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So let's break that down a little bit. For God so loved the world. Wow. You see, there's some people that look at the Bible and they see, well, God is only a God of righteous anger. God is a God of wrath against those who are disobedient. God is a God of judgment, and there's no mercy in the God of the Bible. And that's wrong. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. And so when we look at the God of the Bible, we see not only is He a righteous judge, not only is He just, not only is He holy, but we also see that God is long-suffering. He is loving. He is patient. And the Bible says that through His love, He sent His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. He sent his only begotten Son to take the punishment of the sins of the entire world. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And so he died, he was buried, but then he rose again. Jesus came back to life through his own power. 3 days later, he came back to life and he is alive today. And he is at the right hand of God the Father right now. That is where he is. And the Bible teaches us all these things. And that verse once again says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Wow. So if I believe in him, I won't have to perish. You got it. Exactly. Believing in Jesus is the remedy. That's how the perishing can be stopped. Believing in Jesus. That's what God asks you to do. Would you believe in Jesus? Now, I like to explain it this way. Believing in Jesus is simply trusting in him. It's depending upon him. You see, there's a lot of people in our day who are sadly following what men say about salvation and having your sins forgiven before a holy God. And they're following what men say instead of what the Bible says. And they are relying upon how good they can be in this life. They are depending upon their good works and their kindness to others and their church attendance or their baptism or how many prayers they say and all these other things that many different religions teach. But what the Bible teaches is not a work salvation. It's not how good you can be to earn God's favor and have God's forgiveness. It is trusting in Jesus. It is only what Jesus did already, not what you can do. And so I ask you, friend, have you ever made the choice in your life to believe the gospel? Have you ever made the choice in your life to depend upon Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins? There may be someone here who has attended church for a long time, maybe this church, but you never made that choice to depend upon Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you make that choice tonight? That's the only way that your sins can be forgiven and you can have the righteousness of Christ before a holy God. Now, the Bible says that when we are confronted with the gospel in the way I just did, when we hear the gospel, if we are in need of the gospel in that we've never made that all-important life decision to trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sins, when we hear the gospel, now's the day of salvation. Now's the time to believe that. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when I'm a little more comfortable with it. Maybe a month from now. Or a year from now. I'm just not ready. No, no, no. That is faulty thinking. The Bible says in James 4:14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's how certain our lives are. Proverbs 27:1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friend, do you know for sure tonight that your sins are forgiven before a holy God? It's the most important decision a man or a woman can ever make. So the harvest here is speaking about harvesting the gospel seed. And that is something I'm very burdened here at Faith Bible Church, for our home folks especially, that we are harvesting the gospel seed, that we are bringing in the fruit of our labors that God says is plenteous in the harvest fields. And so we see, first of all, the truth of a plentiful harvest. Jesus said that it truly is plenteous. And I wonder, Faith Bible Church folks here, do you really believe that truth? Do you really believe that the fields, the harvest is plenteous? John 4:35, that the fields are white unto harvest. Do we really believe that? Or are we tempted to doubt Saturday evening? that truth. People aren't interested in church in our day. It's just how the culture has gone. You knock on doors and sometimes they're slammed in your face. Talk to people at work or as you encounter them around, and as soon as you bring up spiritual things, conversation's over. Yes, you will encounter much of that. But has this truth changed? No. The harvest truly is plenteous. I don't know, but I believe that in this community around us, there are dozens, I say yea, hundreds, who are ready to harvest. So why aren't we harvesting them? It's pretty simple. We've been faithful in many ways, but I think it just is going to take more. It's going to take more sowing of the seed. It's going to take more of a passion in our hearts for souls. It'll take more prayer, maybe more fasting. It'll take more. Because, you know, when we look at business or marketing, some of those things, there's a few things we can learn from that. Now, we're not supposed to run our church like a business. There's many churches are that are doing that, and it's a bad move. This is a special thing that God created, the church. And it's not all about the dollar signs and how many we can have sitting in the pews. No. That's not important. It's about changing lives, showing people the love of Christ. But there are a few principles we can learn from business and marketing. Marketing and advertisement fascinates me. I do a little of it when I build websites on the side. I try to build a website that is attractive. I try to build a website that grabs your attention and will hold it as long as I can. I want you to stay on that website. If I get you on that website for 10 seconds, boy, that's pretty good. That was a good job in the marketing realm. And so marketing just fascinates me. But a very basic principle of advertisement and marketing is if you're in a saturated market, there's much competition, what are you going to have to do to get a return? You're just going to have to send out a whole lot more cards. You're going to have to buy some more billboards than the other guy. You're going to have to just really get the message out. And that's really something that God told his disciples to be doing. You preach the gospel and you do it everywhere. And I'm not saying break laws. No. We'd be very courteous of other people and respect their wishes. But I do say we have to proclaim the gospel loud and clear. And if we don't get a return, then proclaim it more. And if we don't have a return yet, then we keep on preaching. And we believe this truth of God that the harvest truly is plenteous. And so, will we remember that moving forward, Faith Bible Church? This has not changed. The culture, yes, it may change, and the situation may at times be getting a little more difficult, but there is still a bountiful harvest in our community. A harvest that God says is plenteous, and what I see is that is it's a harvest that if we were to harvest it all, we couldn't fit it all in this room. We wouldn't have room to take in that store of harvest. It's plenteous, friends, and we must always believe that truth from Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So the parallel passage to this one here tonight. John 4:35, we already mentioned that. The fields are white already to harvest. Don't ever believe the doubts that there are not people around us who are ready to harvest today. There are. And we know some of them, I believe. And so let's continue to be working on those people that God has brought across our paths. So we see, first of all, the truth of a plentiful harvest. But second, I want you to see the fact of a few laborers. The fact of a few laborers. Here, Jesus said, again, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That just seems to be a truth all the time. Wherever I go, it seems like the laborers are few. Faith Bible Church, that can't be the case here. The laborers need to be many here at Faith Bible Church. Now, I know we are, many of us, many, many, many in this church are involved in many, many different things in the church. But we're talking about harvesting. We're talking about getting out in the fields. We're talking about impacting the people that God brings across our paths. We all need to be involved in that. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven tonight, you're saved. And you're a part of this church. Then you need to be a part of the Great Commission somehow. And I would say that you need to be a part specifically of the communication of the gospel in some form or fashion. You say, well, I don't ever get out of my house. I'm basically a shut-in. Then you write letters. You make phone calls. Every one of us in this church need to be a part of harvesting. But the Bible says the laborers are few. And I believe Jesus is spot on when he's talking about our church. The laborers are few. We all need to be involved in this. Now think about it this way. Let's say that there are a dozen of us who have a heartbeat for souls, like we talked about the other night. There's a dozen of us who are involved in this harvesting. Do you think we're going to see a return in 1 year of one soul? The chances, they're not impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. But the chances are kind of low, considering people don't like the message we're giving. But if there are, let's say, 20 of us involved, passionate in this endeavor, actively involved in the harvest fields, do you think our chances have just gone up? Do you think the possibility of seeing souls saved has just risen because now the message is going to be going out all the more? Absolutely. It's very simple. And if there's 35 of us, if there's 45 of us, if all of us are involved in this work, do you think we're probably going to see some more souls saved, some more individuals to disciple, and some more individuals who will then turn around and save by God will save him, but will be involved in the salvation of someone else and going into ministry. Absolutely. Absolutely. The more we are involved, the more return you will get. And so God said here, Jesus said that the laborers are few, but that ought not be here at Faith Bible Church. Will you involve yourself in this all-important ministry of our church that we are in the harvest fields? That we are making a difference in the lives of the people around us for the glory of God. Finally, I want us to see, after we've noticed that the harvest truly is plenteous, we've recognized the laborers are few and that ought not to be, but finally I want us to see the plan for reaping a harvest. The plan for reaping a harvest. You know, in our day, relationships are so important. People need to be able to, you need to earn other people's trust, is what I'm trying to say. People need to be able to trust you before they can believe what you're saying, before they can listen intently to what you're saying and appreciate what you're saying. So relationships must be built. And they're very, very important. What relationships do you have in your life right now with the unsaved? Do you have any? If you don't, then friend, it's time that you get in the harvest fields. If you don't have any relationships, then it's time that you start praying that God will bring someone into your life so that you can be a part of this all-important part of our church. Relationships are so important. Door knocking is good, and there's other forms that we need to be reaching out to our community, but I believe the greatest way that we will see people saved and then able to disciple them and them turning around to win other souls is if we will love them and we will gain their trust and we will simply have relationships with them. Just simply be friends. Just simply reach out and see a need and say, you know what? I am going to, with God's help, pour my heart into that person who needs me, who needs the Lord. And so, the plan for reaping a harvest. We need to be focusing on our community. We need to be focusing on relationships. And I've been thinking about how that is practically done. And I have been convicted in my life that I only have two right now that I am working on in this way. There's a man up in Ramey who does work on my van, and he and I talk about hunting, and we get together whenever I'm in the shop, and we talk, a long time sometimes. But that's just one. It may be a number of years before I can see that soul trust Christ, because it's just one. I think of another man at the hardware store. That's two. But again, sometimes it can take many years before people realize the truth of the gospel and their need for it. And so it could be years and years before I see one of my contacts be saved. And I've been convicted over this as I've been thinking about preaching tonight that I need to have more than that if I'm going to see a return. I just have to. It's a simple fact. I need to have more relationships, more people that I'm actively reaching out to. How many do you have? There's some of you I know, every time we talk about this, you give a name or two, and that's phenomenal. But there's many, I'm afraid, in our church who wouldn't even be able to give one name. How are we going to harvest if we're not showing people the love of Christ on a regular basis? We will go on year after year and hardly bring in any fruit. That is not what God intends for our church, friends. God intends for there to be a plentiful harvest. And so it's going to take a choice on your part and mine that we have a heartbeat for souls. And that we choose, I am going to reach out to that person, that person, that person, that person, and that person. Now, if I recall, over the last few months, Pastor was speaking a little bit about this, and he gave something like the number of five would be a good number for all of us, a good goal for all of us to strive for. And I think, wow, if 10 of us had five contacts each, that's 50 people. Man, the odds just really went up that we could see a soul saved and that we could have an opportunity to disciple an individual in the love of Christ. The odds really went up if there were 10 who had 5. But if there were 20 who had 5, if there were 30 who had 5, if there were more than that, all of us in this church said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to just have one. I'm not going to just have two. But I'm going to at least pray that God would allow me to have 5 different people, 5 different relationships that I am regularly reaching out to. And I think that's a phenomenal goal. I think that's something that would be great for you to make up in your mind that I am going to pray for that, for God's blessing in that way in my life. And so I would like to just make this, our last service, very practical and put that challenge forth to you as we close here tonight. Would you have a heartbeat for souls? And would you make up your mind, Faith Bible Church, that you are no longer satisfied with zero contacts? You are no longer satisfied with one or two. But let's settle for 5 or more. Because the odds just went up a whole lot that we could see God do a mighty miracle. He's ready. His power is great. I believe He's just waiting on you and I to look on the multitudes and to be moved with compassion. Would you have that kind of a burden for souls tonight? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now, we are going to have an invitation time. And what we're going to do is try to make this a very private time between you and God, friend. Now, I don't mean to embarrass anyone or point anyone out here at the end of our service, but this is a private time between you and God. And so that's why I ask that we would bow our heads and close our eyes to try to block out distractions and just focus on the truth that we just heard from God's Word. I want to ask, first of all, is there maybe someone here tonight? You'd say, Brother Dan, I was thinking about the gospel that you were talking about. I was thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about the fact that I'm a sinner, and tonight I am not sure that my sins are forgiven before a holy God. Again, if that's you, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I want to get you some help, friend. Before it's too late, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's conviction right now in His Spirit. And so, if that's you, would you allow me tonight to pray for you? I want to be able to pray for you that God would guide your thoughts right now and that He would draw you to Himself to make this all-important life decision. And I don't know who you are, and so I want to ask this question. If you're here tonight and thinking about those things and wondering, you know, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven before a holy God, would you, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, be brave enough just to slip your hand up and put it back down? Anyone like that at all in the congregation tonight? Just slip your hand up and put it back down. Okay, I want to ask another question this evening. Faith Bible Church, home folk, it is imperative. It is a command from God that we are all involved in the harvest fields. And in many ways, I feel like we have just barely stepped into the field of our community, and we're still playing in the dirt at the edge. We've plopped a few seeds into the ground, and praise God for those victories. It's been wonderful. But we're on the edge of the field still. And there's a vast amount of plants in front of us who many of them, they're not ready to be harvested. But there's many out there who are, because Jesus said it truly is plenteous. And it's time we get into the fields. And the field may be a place that you frequent regularly, and the people you rub shoulders with there. And so I'm begging you, would you have a heartbeat for the souls that are there? I don't know where it is that you may be able to make the greatest impact in the harvest fields, but I'm trusting that God would guide your thoughts right now and that you would have a burden for this thing. And tonight I would like to make a simple challenge to our home folk here as we think about this. I want to challenge you about this thing of having some personal contacts. This thing of having some people that you are regularly reaching out to, building a relationship with, gaining their trust, so that someday you can take them through the gospel and show them the love of God. And I'm burdened about this thing, and I want to make it easy and simple to understand and practical for you to make a decision here tonight with the truths of God's Word. And so what I would ask you to do is, would you be willing, Faith Bible Church, every single one of us, to commit to being a part of this? To commit to having contacts. This is for every single one of us. And remember, if we settle for one or two, and that's what all of us do, there's not much of a chance that we're going to see much harvest. But we're praying for a plentiful harvest for the glory of God. And so I want to challenge our folks here at Faith Bible Church, would you commit to having at least 5 contacts? You say, well, Brother Dan, I have no idea who they could be. You just don't understand my schedule and where I go and what I do. And I think that would be pretty much an impossibility, so I couldn't commit to that. I believe God would make a way for each one of us to have 5 contacts if we would be willing to desire it. If we'd be willing to trust Him for it. And so, Faith Bible Church, I want to give you this simple challenge. Would you commit to having 5 contacts? And if you would tonight, then I would ask that you would make this a serious thing before the Lord, serious commitment. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you please stand to your feet? Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Would you commit to seeking out 5 contacts that you can make a difference in their lives for the cause of Christ, for the gospel? I ask that you just stand to your feet if you're physically able tonight. If not, you're able to raise your hand. That's fine too. Amen. Anyone else? This is a very solemn thing before the Lord. A very serious matter. For our church. Anyone else? God, I pray that you would bless these people who are standing right now for their burden for souls. Lord, help us never to doubt that the harvest truly is plenteous. God, I pray that you would move Faith Bible Church forward for your glory. And Lord, I pray that you would give these people wisdom. It may be hard to find 5 contacts for some of the people in the room. They may not rub shoulders with too many people or have that opportunity. But yet, I believe if that is their desire, Lord, I believe that you will bring 5 across their way. You will make a way. Lord, 5 is not a special number. It's just increasing the odds of making an impact on our community. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work and burden us all in this room to be actively involved in reaching the lost for you and making an impact with the people you've brought across our path. I pray this for your glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask that we please all stand to our feet now. And I'm going to ask if Pastor...